Hello, everybody. It's Eric Clark, Global Brands. Global brands matter, particularly in this period of time when not every company's thriving from a business, from a revenue, from a margin profile, as consumers get a little bit more thoughtful about, or stingy in many cases, about where they're going to spend. The brand loyalty, the customer delight factor, and the ability of a company to sustain margins, keep pricing high, and or grow pricing and pricing power is going to be really important. And so I wanted to, with that in mind, I want, you know, as the beginning of earnings season, it's Tuesday, October 24th, about 12 noon on the West Coast. I just wanted to go over, I just got a chance to go through the Spotify quarter and listen to the call and look at some of the metrics. And it's a good reminder of, you know, as consumer spending investors, you know, as you all know, consumer spending is the largest, most predictable theme on the planet. Consumer spending money on stuff they want and need is pretty consistent and predictable. Changes over a business cycle, but we still spend. Even when you shut down the economy, somehow we figured out how to spend our money through e-commerce. So as we go through earnings season, I'm going to do some of these videos to highlight some of the themes. Now, remember, the dominant theme that we are investing in is global consumer spending. And it's $50 trillion a year. But within that, we have some thematics that we like to invest in. Those could be, you know, the theme of more money migrating from the investment community out of public fixed income and equities and into privates. I mean, 90% of companies that are out there are actually private companies. And yet we all spend 100% of our time or close to it investing in public markets. So you're missing a big part of the investable opportunity if you're not investing in some private markets. And the leaders there are Blackstone, KKR, Apollo. We own all three of them. And two-thirds of those businesses generally are kind of still in hibernation with private equity and real estate struggling right now. But private credit, on the other hand, is doing exceptionally well. And we will see a return in private equity and even real estate over time. And so, you know, these sub-themes that are really prevalent, like athleisure and migrating assets, are important in the portfolio. And one of the themes is great businesses transitioning to profitable great businesses and therefore great stocks. Spotify's earnings were this morning. I'm a huge music fan. I'm a huge streaming audio fan. I listen to way more audiobooks and way more podcasts than I do read books. Maybe you're similar. There's just so much more, you know, if I'm on a mountain bike and I can listen to an earnings call or a podcast or my one of my playlists, I'm so much happier than when I have to sit and be present reading a book, for instance. So the audio business, and Spotify is the leader with like 35% market share. Next is Apple, and then it completely drops off from there. Spotify has done everything right from a gaining consumers, monthly active users here and abroad. And, you know, they're well on their way to the goal of 1 billion global subscribers by 2030. They got 574 million as of this quarter, but they were kind of every quarter in and out of profitability. And it drove most of us investors crazy because we were always wondering, is this business actually a profitable business? You can't just delight customers and make and lose money most of the time, right? And so during their investor day late last year and at the beginning of this year, management team, I think, finally got the message through a falling stock price that you have to start making the transition and then crossing over into sustainable profitability with better operating metrics, generating free cash flow. You can't just spend on R&D every year and grow your subs, but not make any money. And so when I look at the quarter, I feel like this is finally evidence and recognition that the business and the management team is finally moving in the right direction. And that, you know, the stock's up 10% today so far. I still think it's early days. I mean, we just broke a downtrend. You know, it's come a long way from at the end of December last year, this thing was $70 and it's, you know, 170 or so today. So it's had a great year, had a poor year last year, but it's well off the $387 highs when they, and they had many fewer subscribers, and now they're moving into profitability. So I think there are a ton of individuals and buy-siders, hedge funds that love and recognize the brand and the music streaming business as a real growth engine, particularly for youngers. You know, let's face it, I'm a Gen X, we got millennials, and then we got Gen Y. All of them are very music oriented. And so there is a major long runway ahead for global growth for subscribers to reach that $1 billion goal. And if as a management team, you've turned your attention to sustainable profitability and you almost double your MAUs, your global subscribers by 2030, that's going to be a very profitable business, and the stock's way too cheap for that eventuality. And so I like it. We've been in and out of the name because they haven't been able to show sustainable profitability, but I'm going to be pretty stubborn about holding this position and adding on dips. And again, what makes a stock go higher is more buyers than sellers. And if you have a whole host of people who have been waiting for this moment to just finally get into the stock, again, we might back and fill because we had a big gap here. We might kind of retrace and fill the gap. But there's a lot of money around the world that wants to own a name like Spotify. And when you feel like you're pretty confident about the profitability of the business, that's some good buy hold new buyers. I haven't checked what the volume on this thing is today. I suspect it's higher than average volume. I'll just check real quick. Spotify, you know, average daily volume is 1.8 million shares. We've already traded 5.5 million with a half hour to go. So heavy volume is a good thing on good news. And so let's look at some of the actual metrics for the quarter. Total monthly active users, 574 million. That's 26% growth year over year. Premium subscribers is 226 million. That's 16% growth year over year. Ad supported users is 361 million. Now, interestingly, this is a thesis of mine. The audiobook offering is just beginning. It's only being rolled out in the UK and Australia, I believe. And so, you know, as an audiobook buyer on Audible, which is owned by Amazon, they don't make it very easy for me to buy books. So if I can, as a brand loyalist for Spotify, if I can start buying audiobooks through Spotify and I get up to 15 hours of consumption that's free if I have a premium subscription, which I do for the family plan, that might pull some people from the ad-supported plans into the premium subscribers, which is, you know, where the profitability is. And so I think that offering could be very interesting once they roll it out into major markets over the next 6 months. So, you know, you got about 2.9 billion in revenue from premium subs, another 447 for ad supported. So your total revenue is 3.357 billion, gross profit of 885 million. On gross margins of 26.4%. Here's the thing I think that what's driving the stock price today. You had an operating income of 32 million and an operating margin of 1%. Doesn't sound like a lot, but when the last couple of quarters were negative 7.5% or so, this transition into sustainable, you know, positive operating margins and generating net cash, 216 million of free cash flow, man, if you can start ramping that up, particularly as your goal is to grow your subscriber count by double, this thing could start a little bit like the Netflix story, could start throwing off a lot of free cash as this business really scales and they really continue to focus on the efficiency of the business. So that to me is the most important thing in this story, and is why we're seeing this re-rating and the breaking of the downtrend. So, you know, I just think between the core business of music streaming and the profitability focused by management, the growth and efficiency of the ad revenue, adding things like audiobooks, using AI to enhance user engagement with the DJ, and then generating a lot of free cash flow, I think this thing has a lot more to go. And remember, this thing was 387 at the highs with much less profitability, fewer subscribers, and no focus on really driving this business as a profitable enterprise. So that all lots of things to come on the positive side. And you know, you've seen it with Uber and that's inflected higher. You've seen it just beginning in DraftKings. And I think there's a lot further to go on the DraftKings exposure that we have. It's the second biggest holding in the fund actually now. I'm expecting good things this quarter and through their investor day. I think it's later in November. And they're going to have a big 2024 as the new leader in sports betting. And lastly, Thursday after the close, we have Amazon. That's the top holding. That stock has doubled revenue in the last three or so years, and the stock has annualized at about negative seven and change. When all the other mega cap brands are up 15, 20, 25% annualized for 3 years. So Amazon tends to lag when they're going through big spending cycles. This was the largest spending cycle they've ever been. You know, the demand through COVID essentially forced them to really ramp up their CapEx spend on the logistics business. And as that spend rolls over, even as AI spending for AWS at a higher margin rolls and ramps forward, the delta between those two spends is going to go down, and the profitability and the margins should go back up over time in the core retail business. And ad spend continues to grow at 20% or more. If we get that reacceleration in AWS and the margin profile there, I think there's a big snapback in Amazon. I still think this company is the first business to generate $1 trillion in top line revenue. They have a better shot than all the other brands, the mega brands, at $600 billion currently. And, you know, e-commerce growth is still continuing. As the volume starts to pick up further in e-commerce and logistics, their profitability will go up, which is a little counterintuitive. You'd think, you know, if they're going to lose money on more people using their logistics and ordering online, then how's that positive? But when you build, you know, when you spend a lot of money building this logistics and you're really scaling that business, more volume drives more profit, more and better profitability. And so I'm expecting good things. Again, you know, with all the macro headwinds and the tensions geopolitically and the, you know, our political, you know, nightmare of too much debt and not being able to have a Speaker of the House. And, you know, there's a lot of macro kind of cross currents that are happening. Consumers are spending less perhaps and making choices, although Amazon is a go-to brand if you are looking to spend, you know, less money and be more productive in your spending. You can easily point click, add to your basket, send, because you're a Prime subscriber. Next thing you know, you get those things at the end of the day or the next day. And so that's going to continue to drive adoption, more Prime members, lots of people saving money at a time when people want to save a lot of money. And so names like TJ Maxx and Amazon and, you know, looks like Dollar Gen might be getting their act together and Five Below. you know, the brands and certainly Costco is doing exceptionally well, delighting customers, helping them save money. So I think there's a lot of positive things to come in the companies that and the brands that are doing the right thing for the right reasons. And Amazon should be a wonderful catch-up play, because it's rare that they have subpar 3 and 5 year annualized returns. And if the business is still relevant and improving, which it is, again, they doubled revenue over 3 years. They just haven't gotten paid for it from a shareholder perspective because they were spending massively on that logistics spend. But when that rolls down, you get a real inflection. Margins should rise back to normalized levels and maybe even further as management teams get focused on you know, better profitability and higher margins and using AI and technology and robots in warehouses to really eke out more profitability per unit of revenue. So I'll do more of these as we have some good earnings reports. We're just beginning earnings season. I certainly anticipate doing one for DraftKings, doing one for Amazon. So look forward to those. And, you know, thanks a lot for your time, and brands matter. Make sure you have enough consumer discretionary in particular, because the world is woefully underexposed to the best consumer discretionary brands. And here's a fun fact to end on. Consumer discretionary and technology have been historically the best performing sectors in most time periods over the last 30 plus years. Everybody owns enough tech. Nobody owns enough consumer discretionary. That's one of the things that we're heavily overweight on a persistent basis. We're just being very selective about what exposures we have in consumer discretionary. And if we see a trough over the next, you know, 2 to 3 or 4 months, I anticipate getting wider in consumer discretionary and adding things like Ulta Salon lower, maybe an Etsy, maybe a Yeti. See, there's a lot of names that I think have a little more to go on the downside that will hit positive trough and earnings expectation inflections. And we're going to want to get more exposed to those names too. So stay tuned on that. And thanks a lot for listening, everybody.